today I'm talking to one of my all-time most favorite love and relationship experts, Matt Boggs, who's going to be sharing with us on cracking the man code. Matt, are you there? How are you?
Oh, I am definitely here, Arielle. It's great to be with you. Thank you for the love you're giving me.
Well, it's always so enlightening to talk to you. I've had some of my biggest aha moments talking to you, and I'm sure today will be no different. But for the audience, the two people out there who don't know who you are, will you just share your background and how you came to be teaching and coaching women about relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to give a big shout out to everyone who's listening right now. And, you know, I feel a connection with you in that you're here to expand your heart, to learn how to give and receive love in greater ways. And that is what I've dedicated my life to. That is my mission, is helping us learn how to expand our hearts and enjoy deeper, more connected relationships. And I think I heard this quote once where this person was saying, you know, authors often write not what they know, but what they need to learn most. And it made me laugh because I think it's partly true. It's like what fuels a lot of people who are on a mission is that they've had the pain in their own life and they solved it, and then they want to share that solution with others. And that's exactly what happened for me. Is for some reason, growing up as a kid, having a relationship and a love story was one of the most important things in my life. And a lot of kids, little boys, want to grow up and become astronauts and professional football players and things like that. And I wanted those things too, but not as badly as I wanted my woman. I mean, from the time I was like 10. And so maybe that set me on a particular track of not having a lot of success, believe it or not. I focused on it with everything that I could, and through high school and then through college and like years of crash and burn relationships. And it was a period where I had been single for maybe 4 or 5 years, really unhappy with my love life and the state of how things were going. And so my mom suggested that I take this course to improve my love life. And it was a week-long seminar, and I said, okay. And I showed up to this course, and on day 4 of this week-long seminar, I did an exercise that completely changed my life because it showed me a blind spot that I didn't even know that I had. And I think all of us have blind spots to a degree. You know, you can't see the picture when you're the one in the frame. And so I found myself sitting in a row of 50 men, and there are 50 women standing in front of us. And as men, we all have clipboards, a pencil, and a piece of paper. And the facilitator says, all right, gentlemen, we're going to play a game called the Island Game. And your job is to keep track of how many yes votes and no votes you get. And so we said, okay. And then the facilitator turns to the women and say, ladies, you're going to vote on these men. And the question is this: if this was the last man to choose from, and you were going to be deserted on a desert island somewhere, or deserted island somewhere, would you want him on the island with you? And just vote yes or no. You can't explain anything. You're just going to vote. And you know, there was like, you could hear a pin drop in the room. It was so tense and so like nerve-wracking. We're like, okay. So they start going down and they vote on us. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. We keep track of all of our yeses and nos. And then the facilitator says, all right, gentlemen, stand up and order yourselves from the man who has the most yeses down to the man who has the most nos. And so we find our place in line and we compare our numbers. And I wound up second to last with the most no votes. Like down at the very end of this long line. I mean, Arielle, I'm looking down this long line of guys that all got more yes votes than me.
And you're so cute. I can't even imagine that.
Well, here's the thing. I was shocked. I was like, that guy? That guy got more votes than me? I was completely surprised. And the facilitator was genius because she was like, is there anyone surprised by where they're standing? And I was humbled and embarrassed, and I raised my hand meekishly and I said, look, I'm surprised, you know? And at the same time in my mind, I knew, well, this is appropriate because for years I hadn't been able to track someone that I liked. or that liked me back. It was always a miss. And so something I was doing was off. And so the facilitator says, all right, Matt, are there any women here who would be brave enough to give Matt the gift of feedback and tell him honestly why they voted no? And all these hands shot up in the room. I thought, oh my gosh, here we go. But it was good. It was really, really good feedback. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. And ultimately, what they said, there was a common thread in everything that they said. And what they said was that they didn't feel like they could truly connect to me. There was just something missing. There was just something that they didn't feel like they could connect me with. And the other common answer was they felt judged by me. And as much as I didn't want that to be true, I knew it was true and I knew why it was true. And Ariel, I was so hard on myself. I was so self-critical that I wasn't even trying to judge these women, but they could pick up that vibe. They could feel my energy of just being trying to be perfect, trying to look good, trying to get people to like me and approve of me. And that energy was creating the thing I didn't want the most. What I wanted the most was connection, and yet that's what my energy was costing me. So shortly thereafter, I got inspired. That night I made a decision for myself ultimately, and this is what changed my life, is the decisions that we make to grow our awareness, the decisions that we make to expand our minds and our hearts so that we can have what we want. And my decision was, look, I'm going to do whatever it takes to learn what creates true connection, what creates lasting love in these in great relationships. And so fast forward 4 years it took me to do this project, but I ended up interviewing literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of couples who had all been married over 40 years that explained their marriages as happy and thriving and fulfilling. And we traveled with my best friend. My grandmother came on this journey with us. We've traveled 12,000 miles interviewing America's greatest marriages. And after all of that research, we published a book. It's called Project Everlasting. And since then, I've been coaching women all around the world. Actually, women have taken my products and programs. We've reached over 15 million women so far and helping them understand the hearts and minds of men. But back up, after I learned these principles from these couples, I started to see the common practices. Like, I think you would have to be not paying attention to actually see these common practices. They were like looking at me right in the face. And I began to shift my approach. I began to shift how I was showing up. And very quickly, everything shifted for me. Mm-hmm. And on the last stop on the book tour, when we were on our book tour, the last book signing, I ended up meeting my wife. And we got married. And today we've got a beautiful little girl, and I'm in an amazing marriage to the woman of my dreams and feel completely blessed that I get to share this information. And so I'm getting to do what I love, and this is what I've dedicated my life to because it's made such a difference in my life.
Oh, what a great story. Thank you so much for that. I knew parts of it, but I didn't know the whole thing. So let's just jump right in for the women that are listening in. What are some of the greatest challenges you've seen smart, conscious, successful women have on their journey to meeting the right partner and creating lifelong love?
That's a great question. One of the greatest challenges is that we're in a new era. We're in a new time where the roles are up for whatever we want them to be. You know, like a lot of the couples that we interviewed, there were very specific roles. There were roles, and I'm not saying these roles were better or I'm not saying they were right. I'm just saying that they were clear, where, you know, women were taking care of the kids in the house and the men would go off to work and so on and so forth. But what that allowed them to do is to be able to connect in a certain way. Now, today, with women running the world in so many different ways and being fully empowered and fully able to support themselves and in many cases making more money than men, I think one of the biggest challenges, I don't even think, I know one of the biggest challenges in the dating space is how do you navigate the masculine and feminine energy? How do you navigate your roles? Who reaches out to who? How do you who's going to lead in particular situations? And the reason that's a challenge is because for there to be attraction, there needs to be an arc of energy, like a battery, like electricity. For electricity to flow, there always has to be an arc. And you see it reflected to us in the physical world. The earth has a positive and negative pole. Batteries have positive and negative poles. For a relationship, for there to be attraction and strong connection to flow, there needs to be an arc of tension, this arc of energy. And that's only created when one person decides they're going to embody the feminine and the other person decides they're going to embody the masculine. And the challenge is that we don't have great examples of how to do this, especially in today's world. Like our generation of women and your generation of women who are forging new territory, you're having to be the trailblazers and redefine what this looks like and redefine what this means. And so you don't have a generation where you can really look back and see a lot of role models for this.
Mm, I know that is such a big issue. Now, I know that your core teaching, which you call the cracking the man code, why is that important?
Even the name makes me laugh because I would teach all these when we first came out with the book, we were hired all over the country to speak. We spoke for the Hallmark Corporation. We spoke for these major personal development events. And I was teaching essentially some of the main principles we learned from America's Greatest Marriages on how to make love last. This was years ago. And I would have so many women come up to me afterwards and say, Matt, this is great. You're teaching me how to make love last. Can you just help me with step number one? Like, how do I meet my man in the first place? I want to make it last, but I also want to learn how to meet him, how to build attraction. And I'm confused. I don't know exactly what I'm doing wrong. You know, everyone tells me I'm amazing and I've got all the other areas of my life figured out, but this one area. And so I love research. I love science. I'm a former biology teacher, actually. That was my undergraduate and graduate studies, getting my master's in education to become a biology teacher. And so I poured myself into the research, read everything I could get my hands on, as well as the coaching and the working with men that I do, and came up with a program called Cracking the Man Code to help us understand the differences between men and women. Because just like we're confused of the roles, part of the confusion is we think that the other person experiences life the way that we do. And it couldn't be further from the truth. We've oftentimes, one of the biggest challenges, we'll give love in a way that we want to experience love. And especially when it comes to opposite sex relationships, men and women experience the world very differently. Men and women experience and receive love very differently. Men and women want different things out of the relationship. So the way a woman would approach and want to connect to a man, thinking that she's building connection, she's actually repelling a man. She's actually causing him to want to pull away, not because he doesn't want to be with you, but oftentimes it's biochemically driven. Like, we're wired up. No matter what, like, we've got this new era we're living in, but we're still driven by our genes. We're still driven by literally hundreds of thousands of years of programming, right? Like, for example, I'll just give you a couple quick examples for the cynics that are listening, or the people are like, well, okay, tell me, you know, how are you sure? How does this work? There have been social studies done where when you look at a restaurant, men will instinctively sit on the side of the table facing the entrance of the restaurant far more than they'll want to sit with their back towards the entrance of the restaurant. And studies have shown that it's from thousands of years of programming sitting at the entrance of the cave, protecting our family from the entrance of the cave. Our taste buds and our eyes have evolved differently. For example, our eyes, just take the cones in the back of our eyes. The cones are the cells in the retina that allow us to detect color. They say women have up to 20% more cones in their eyes because it was their job during the gathering to identify the poisonous berries that were darker red from the non-poisonous berries that were lighter red. So they needed to be able to tell nuance in color. This is why women today will use words like mauve and chartreuse and, you know, and teal. You know, a man will say that's blue or that's red. You know, women say No, that is brick. Or that is, I remember trying to buy a shawl for my mom, and I was talking to the woman who makes the shawls, and I said, well, I want the white one. And she's like, well, do you want bone, or do you want snowflake, or do you want, like, she had all these different whites. I said, I don't know, I just want white. So anyway, we've got these massive differences. So the good news is when we understand how the other person feels connected, when we understand how the other person receives love, it creates this common ground where the other person feels heard, they feel understood, they feel more connected to you. So that's ultimately what Cracking the Man Code is about. It's about helping us understand the primary differences between men and women, how we want to communicate, how and when we feel most connected, how we fall in love, all of that, so that you can build the strongest connection possible.
Mm. So it's understandable why so many women would be so frustrated trying to interact with a man and they're going about it all wrong. I was wondering if you can really paint a picture for us and share a story from one of your clients about what their issue is and when they cracked the man code, like what happened.
Sure. So one of the, and there's so many good stories. One of the primary drivers for men, okay, is the need to feel like he's doing a good job for you. One of our biggest fears is inadequacy. That deep within us, I mean, from literally hundreds of thousands of years, our job was to go out, hunt, catch lunch, and bring it back to you. And if we did a good job, our family survived. If we didn't do a good job, if we were inadequate, if we failed, then our family wouldn't survive and was at risk of starving, right? So this is deeply wired in us, this need to feel accepted, to feel appreciated, to feel like enough for you. Well, what creates space, so here's one of the challenges that the modern era introduces to us, is that women who create opportunities for us to serve them and then celebrate us create that arc of attraction much more than women who try to prove themselves. One of the things that I see often is a woman who makes great money, she's super smart, she has every area of her life together, and so what she'll do is she'll do one of two things. She'll either give back to the man in an effort to prove her own smarts, in an effort to prove how successful, like she wants to get recognized, she wants to be respected, she wants to be celebrated for all the accomplishments that she has and seen as equal. So they'll strive for that when they're dating. So that's one of the challenges. The other one is just a woman who gives to the man early on, offers to pay, offers to plan the date, offers, gives him a gift, those sort of things. The challenge is that doesn't create the arc of attraction in a man, because for a man to feel like he's enough, to feel like he's adequate, he's got to do something for you. The one thing that men want in return from you is an opportunity to serve, number one, because we need to feel needed, we need to feel adequate, and how we feel adequate is by your response to us when we serve you, okay? So one of my clients learned this in Cracking the Man Code, was very resistant to this whole idea, and she's like, I don't know. She was very in her masculine energy, and she was a single mom, and she makes great money, and so I said, just try this out. So she had a date later that week. She was going to meet the guy at this coffee shop. She pulls into a parking lot across the street from the coffee shop, and the guy just happens to pull in right behind her. He sees her there getting ready to pay for the parking and the little gate to go up. And so he jumps out of his car, goes up and says, hey, I see you're right in front of me. Let me pay for your parking. And she said it was so amazing to watch herself in this moment, because she goes, every cell in her body wanted to say no, wanted to refuse the support, refuse the help from him, and to prove, hey, I can take this. Like, I make my own money. I can do it on my own. But she heard the whole the Cracking the Man Code principle about joyful receptivity, joyful receiving is huge for creating arc, for creating that attraction, for allowing a man to serve, right? We're talking conscious, you know, conscious good men who want to serve, who want to be in a relationship. So she says, he says, let me pay for this. And she goes, okay, that would be great. Kind of resisting. And so he pays for the gate. The gate goes up, and she said she could see it in his eyes, and she could see it in his chest puffed out as she drove in, almost like this, you may proceed. Like, look what I just created a whole parking lot for you. Like, when men give to you, they feel like they didn't just do the one thing. They feel like they own the entire experience, you know. I just made this whole parking lot for you. Pick any spot you want, you know. And so she drives in. And she said she watched him walk over, and they had a great coffee together. And she goes, that was the first moment when she really remembers stepping more into the feminine and helping a man step into the masculine. And that couple ended up getting married last summer. So she was she had been divorced for like 20 years, and now they're happily married, and they've got a thriving relationship. Mm-hmm. So that's just, yeah.
That's so fun, and I love this concept. Joyful receptivity. I think we should make a poster out of it. It's beautiful. So, Matt, what is it that conscious, high-value men most want in relationships?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because this helps bring us into the heart and mind of a man a little bit. Because as much as a conscious man will choose a woman to share his life with for all of her qualities and her magnificence and her beauty and everything that he wants in a partner, the other major factor is how he feels about himself around her. How does he feel like a better man in her presence? How does he see himself when she looks at him, right? How does he see himself through her eyes, through her appreciation, through her celebration? Because conscious men are men who are on the green growing edges of their own becoming. Conscious men want to grow. They want to learn. They want to expand the same way that conscious women do. So as a conscious man feels like the best version of himself around a woman, that's the thing that will make the woman not just someone he wants to be with, but someone he wants to spend his life with.
Makes perfect sense. So can you give us an overview of what we need to be or discover in order to have a breakthrough on getting started in finding our conscious man?
Yeah. The three main pillars that I've uncovered as far as the three zones that we need to focus on is, and many of you listening, you'll recognize these, you've studied on these a lot, and it really helps to have people like Ariel, to have programs like this, because we cannot see the picture when we're the ones in the frame. Every one of us has blind spots that we have. So working with, you know, whether it's just listening to another program or working with people helps to illuminate those blind spots. So the three phases are, as I've described them, is a love-abundant mindset, a love-abundant heart set, and then love-abundant skill sets. And here's what I mean. The mindset, we all know that we become that which we think about most. And no matter how you slice it, every single one of us has limiting beliefs. Every single one of us have paradigms. And the only time your paradigms are that voice in your head of the fear, the doubt, the worry, or the beliefs that, you know, beliefs like all the good men are taken, or men only want younger women, for example. One of my clients, she didn't even know she had that belief. And as she started doing programs and started doing the exercises, Ariel, that you guys have people go through, she ended up uncovering this, oh my gosh, I've got this belief that all men want younger women. And it's not like she didn't have any evidence. You know, in society, we see evidence of that all around us. But it doesn't have to be her reality. So she began to shift that. And shortly thereafter, she gets an email on Facebook, or someone pings her on Facebook, this guy, and he says, hey, do you want to meet up for coffee? And she said, ordinarily, she would not respond to a man on Facebook, but she decided to. they go on a couple coffee dates. And after, I think it was the third coffee date, he said, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" And she said, "Sure." And he goes, "Would you be willing to consistently date a younger man? Because I know that you're 52 and I'm 49, but I really like you and I want to be exclusive with you."
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And so when he said that, bells went off for her. She was like, "Oh my gosh, this was my thing and I have worked through it." So releasing the limiting beliefs, building a belief set that is in alignment with the life you want. That's the mindset. The heart set work is around, are we able to drop the guard? You know, every one of us has a past. Every one of us has experienced hurt and betrayal and all kinds of deep and painful emotions around relationships. That's why I love this particular work, because I think it causes us to grow in some of the most profound ways. Because the pain is so deep, then the courage to overcome that needs to be equally as great. And so the heart set is our ability to forgive and let go of the past, our ability to let go of scarcity. A lot of people kind of keep side relationships to kind of keep them safe and they live in this guarded space. But can we put down the walls to really express who we truly are? The freedom of expression. One of the most sexy qualities to a man is a woman who is fully alive, who is fully free to express and be the beautiful version of herself that she is. Like, that is compelling to conscious men. So that's number two. And then number three are the skill sets, because you can't get into an amazing relationship without the right skill sets. So, for example, how do you have the "what are we" conversation when you're dating without seeming needy, without seeming desperate, right? Without seeming like you're coming from scarcity. How do you, when a man breaks an agreement or when a man pulls away or disappears, how do you bring that conversation up in a way that causes him to want to lean in and want to share and want to talk? I mean, just skill sets, like how do you approach a man on the street or out and about, if you're in the grocery store or wherever, if he's not coming up to you and he's handsome and you want to talk to him, but you want to remain feminine, how do you do that? You need the actual skill sets. You need to know what to say, right? No amount of believing you're good enough and feeling worthy enough will give you actually the words to say if you don't know how to handle that situation in a way that will ignite the masculine in him and help him take the lead. Mindset, heart set, skill set are the three areas really to focus on if you want to change your results in love.
That is so juicy. Okay, bye everybody. Thank you.